garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again.
Our next guest on Downtown made musical history in 1990 when he teamed up with his brother Matthew to hit number one on the Billboard charts with the song Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection, and in so doing, became the third generation of his family to have a number one song on the charts. Nelson went on to have several other hits. They're still out there making great music, and they'll be coming to Maine next month with a tribute show honoring their father's music called Ricky Nelson Remembered. We're happy to welcome Gunnar Nelson back to Downtown. Well, how have you been? You guys are out on the road touring with Tesla, right?
Well, yeah, we've been doing some great shows with the likes of our friends in Tesla, Winger, Firehouse, Lita Ford. We're having a great time. I was actually called by our agent just out of the blue about 5 weeks ago, where he said, hey, I got this opportunity. You guys willing to put Nelson back together? And I sat there and thought long and hard. I said, you know, the only way I'll do this, John, is if we do this full tilt, full bore, and like we did in 1990 when we were on the After the Rain tour. I want to take it seriously. And that's exactly what we did. And so, man, we're bringing the rock again, and it feels really, really good.
Well, that is awesome. Well, you're also bringing your wonderful tribute show to your dad, Ricky Nelson Remembered, right here to Maine, September 17th at the Waterville Opera House. And it's going to be so much fun because it's been, I think, about a decade since you've brought that show to the state of Maine.
No, it's really true, and Maine is actually one of my favorite states of all. I'm a trout fisherman, so, you know, that's kind of biased for me, but I gotta tell you, the Ricky Nelson Remembered show is a show that we get to do, not the one that we have to do. It, you know, our dad was our best friend, and we miss him a whole lot less in doing this. We wanted the high energy rock concert meets an A&E biography episode, okay? And it's kind of led by the two twins who I don't know, best described as between the Everly Brothers and the Smothers Brothers. It's a really good night. It really is. It's, of course, multi-generational, family-friendly, but we actually take the music very, very seriously. We approach it the same way our dad did when rock and roll was brand new, when the greatest generation with the greatest music that will ever be was pioneering rock and roll in the first place. And if you're expecting a sleepy show, you'll be disappointed. It definitely gets you on the edge of your seat.
Well, your dad had such a remarkable music career, 54 top 100 hits through the years, and encompassed a lot of genres, too. I know early on, he was a big fan of Carl Perkins and that rockabilly sound.
That's right. That's what it was, is that, you know, rock and roll to our father was his escape, because he was working on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet at the time. That was 5 days a week that he was doing that, and that was when, you know, his time and his artistry really belonged to the family. And he used to go down, like all the other kids when he was 16 or so, to a place called Wallach's Music City on the corner of Hollywood and Vine. All the kids used to listen to records there at Wallach's. And he just fell in love with people who became his friends later on. I mean, he used to hang out on the West Coast. Remember, you know, you got the genre there in Memphis doing the Sun Records thing, and those guys were amazing. You had the Doo-Woppers out of New York. But in California, you had Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent and Ricky Nelson. And those guys were all friends hanging out together and basically making records without a map or a blueprint. Rock and roll was brand new. So they were just kids shooting from the hip, making records they themselves would want to go down and buy. And that's why the sounds between, let's say, Elvis and Ricky, the approach is different, but it's no less vital. I mean, you had the legendary James Burton, arguably the first guitar hero on Telecaster with our dad, who later went on to be Elvis's music director. But, I mean, think about the hits. Traveling Man, Hello Mary Lou, Lonesome Town, Believe What You Say, I Got a Feeling, Poor Little Fool, Garden Party, of course. It just goes on and on. The hardest thing for me and Matthew was to kind of pare it down into a set after weeding through all of those great, great songs. We didn't want anybody to be left out. So we just kind of defaulted to the final set list our father himself was playing up until the day he died. We played exactly the same way.
You know, and to me, one of the most remarkable things about your dad's stories, he had those early hits tied into the television show, but then as a young guy of, what was he, 21, 22, when he said, I want my own band, and went out and hired an 18-year-old James Burton and those other great players that really helped create that distinctive Ricky Nelson sound.
No, it's true. Well, actually, it was actually before that. He made one record. The first single was I'm Walking, that our dad sang on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet when he was 16 years old. The episode was called Ricky the Drummer, and it was the first time that the world got to see Ricky Nelson sing. Now, if you catch that in reruns, or you look it up on YouTube, again, it's Ozzie and Harriet, Ricky the Drummer, and watch and hear our dad performing, you'll realize it's not recorded. He was doing it live, the studio live, and singing that well. And then they made a single because they're kind of jammed for time. They sold 1 million copies that first week of I'm Walking. But our dad said to his father, Ozzie, who was a band leader who had number ones in 1934 of his own, said, you know, Pop, I wanna hire my own band. I can hear it in my head. I know what it's going to be. And right as fate would have it, right then, Bob Luman's band was breaking up. We had the Louisiana Hayride TV show, and the house band was James Burton on Telecaster, who was only 15 at the time, and Richie Frost on drums and James Kirkland on bass. And they were a wicked rockabilly trio already, and that is who our dad hired for his band from that point on.
We're talking with Gunnar Nelson here on Downtown. Ricky Nelson remembered coming up September 17th at the Waterville Opera House. You mentioned your grandfather, you're the only family in history to have three generations with number one songs. And Ozzy was an innovator in a lot of ways, including helping to create some videos for your dad's music that was way ahead of its time.
Well, he was credited with our father by the Smithsonian as the creators of the first conceptual rock music video in history with the song Traveling Man. Traveling Man had that moving screen behind our dad as he was up there singing and playing. It had never been done before. But, you know, Oz, always the marketer, always the innovator, and always the director, thought it would look pretty cool. He had no idea what it was going to start from that point on. But, being on the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet every week, obviously, was an incredible marketing advantage, but it was also a real choice that Ozzy had to make, because back then, believe it or not, when things were so new, all the industry and the music industry thought free milk and a cow. If kids could see their favorite artist singing on television, then they weren't going to go down to the record store and actually buy the record. And Ozzy was the guy that proved them all wrong. He thought it was an incredible opportunity for marketing, and the rest is history. Now it's commonplace, of course, but back then, you know, singing the devil's music on mainstream TV was pretty salacious.
Then in the 1960s, later in the 60s, with the Stone Canyon Band, your dad was one of the absolute creators of the California sound, of the folk rock movement. And those early records were so good. You listen to something like She Belongs to Me. And, man, those stand with the best of the Eagles, the Birds, or anybody who was making that music in that time period.
Yeah, our dad was at ground zero for that. It was all centered around a little club there in Hollywood called the Troubadour Club. And on any given night, you could see Linda Ronstadt, the guys who would later be the Eagles, the Birds, the Hollies, Buffalo Springfield, Joni Mitchell, Jackson Browne, all those cats singing and trying to outdo each other down there. And that was really, I guess they call it the California sound now, or the Laurel Canyon sound. Our dad was right there at the beginning of all of that. And he put out a record at the time from the Troubadour called Live at the Troubadour, and it really started a rage. As a matter of fact, we just lost Randy Meisner.
Right,
and,
right.
And Randy was one of the founding members of our dad's Stone Canyon Band 2 years before he joined the Eagles and founded the Eagles. So this is early on. The coolest thing is, if you're in Nashville, please go and check out the Country Music Hall of Fame. They've got a display there right now. It's called Western Edge, and it's all about the Southern California sound and that whole movement there. And prominently featured there as you walk in is who Chris Hillman credits. And Chris was in so many of the bands from that movement. Mm. He credits our father with being the pioneer of country rock and modern country. Now, he claims that Hello Mary Lou was truly the first country rock song.
Well, it's hard to argue with that. I've told you some of this story before. I had a chance to MC a show that your dad did just a few months before his death, and man, I loved his later work so much, and his face lit up when I told him how much I loved his album Rudy the Fifth, and how The Last Time Around was one of my favorite songs.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, Rudy the Fifth to me is my absolute favorite record my dad ever had anything to do with. It was before Garden Party. it was at a time when his record company considered him completely over. So no one was breathing over his shoulder, telling him what to do in the studio. He had complete and total creative freedom. And man, I live here in Nashville right now. There are so many country stars from Vince Gill on down that I've had conversations with over the years, and they keep on bringing up that record. It's not the Garden Party record, which is fantastic, but it's Beauty the Fifth record that really got them thinking about that country rock sound. And honestly, you and I definitely share that. I think Rudy the Fifth is a masterstroke.
And some great work, too. I think late 70s, early 80s, with Playing to Win. He's one of the first people I know to cover a John Hiatt song.
Oh, I know, right? Well, you know, he was catching a lick with Capitol Records at the time. The sad thing is, he was supposed to have been produced by Paul McCartney on that record.
Wow.
And they never worked together. They really wanted to. As a matter of fact, the last record that my father ever recorded, the last side he ever recorded, was One After 909, which was the first song, of course, that Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote together. And later on, Paul McCartney actually covered Lonesome Town on his record, Run, Devil, Run. And so they were a mutual admiration society. Everything was a go. It was going to happen. And then there was some weird political infighting at Capitol Records at the time, and unfortunately that pairing never happened. But I had the blessing of getting to meet Paul McCartney for the first time about 8 years ago here in Nashville, and we had a whole conversation about that whole thing. And I actually gave Paul McCartney the platinum record, or the gold record, that is, for the single of Lonesome Town, which was really special because back in the day, in the 50s, they only gave the artist one of those gold records, and the record company one. That was it. Like today, you can get them ordered, and that's not a problem. This was the original one that they gave our father, and he clutched it to his chest. And I said, wait, there's more. And I had in my pocket the last thing that our dad ever recorded that he never released, which was One After 909, him singing on that song. And I gave it to Sir Paul, and he started jumping up and down like a giddy teenager. It was the coolest thing to say. Look, it doesn't matter who you are. Rock and roll is the through line for all of us. It's the glue that holds our souls together. It's our friend that's been there for us throughout all of the years, and our time machine that we can rely on when we need to go someplace when we're not feeling great, you know? And Paul McCartney is no different, I'm happy to say.
And I have to imagine that you and Matthew both, I'm sure you're, maybe when you're doing your dad's songs, thinking about all the great music that he would probably still be making today if he were around, because he developed so much as an artist through the years.
Oh, he really did. Look, I mean, I say this on stage every night. You know, again, I mentioned that our father was our best friend. He never got the credit he rightfully deserved. He literally lived and died for rock and roll. I mean, that was his first love. You know, this is a guy that was so pretty and had so many screen credits. He definitely could have gone down the road and I dare say much easier road of being a TV and film star. You know, living life on the road as a musician is a difficult choice. And he decided to do that because he loved his fans and he loved his music so much. And there isn't a day that goes by that, one, I don't feel my dad in the room when we're performing, and two, that I wouldn't give anything to be able to take a step back with my brother and have our dad doing the show instead of us. But, you know, to me, this is the way we can honor our father and our family's legacy and connect people in the audience with a time in the world when everybody felt there was nothing but possibility ahead. They felt 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and it was a kinder, gentler, and more fun place to be, I'm going to argue.
Well, and great music stays with us forever, too, whether it's Stranger Things or commercials. You never know where you'll hear a Rick Nelson song, and you guys doing a phenomenal job of keeping that music out there and in the public eye, but it's not going away.
Oh, no. If I have anything to say about it, you know, there's a great Scandinavian proverb, and we're a bunch of freaking Swedes, so I'm going to go there, which is every man dies two deaths. The first death is when his physical body goes, and the second and final death is when the last person that remembers and loves them goes. And in a very real sense, our dad continues to live, continues to rock, and he's going to live forever.
Well, I can't wait to see the show. You know, our station is owned by Stephen King. I know you're a pretty big Stephen King fan.
Are you kidding me? I'm the world's biggest Stephen King fan. He wrote a story which was great. I highly recommend it. It's called You Know They Got a Hell of a Band. And
right,
a couple of travelers get lost in the road, and they find themselves in some weird diner, And man, doesn't that guy behind the counter look like Ricky Nelson? And doesn't the waitress look like Marilyn Monroe? And it was pretty creepy and pretty awesome. But I recommend that. And I'm a huge Stephen King fan, of course.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the show here in Waterville on the 17th. And I was going back through the archives. Now, you were on with us last May. Matthew was on with us back in 2020. So you now have a commanding lead in the Nelson sweepstakes on our show.
Look, if I have anything to say about it, I'm going to keep that lead. Thank you very much.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Gunnar. Good luck out on the road, and I look forward to seeing you on the 17th at the Waterville Opera House for Ricky Nelson Remembered. Thanks again for being with us.
Oh, thank you, and thanks to all the fans for giving the family the greatest job in the world for the last 100 years.